You're listening to the 503 Report with Tim Reinerson and Andrew Wellborn, where America's voice is heard. Be sure to check out our website weekly as we bring Sacramento and the world to you at www.503report.com, where America's voice is heard.
Well, California, continuing its reputation as the pace setter on immigration, check out what state lawmakers unveiled in a package of bills just a couple of days ago that would expand the rights, you guessed it, of people who are in the country illegally. Here we go. Senate Pro Tem Kevin DeLeon from L.A. and Assembly Speaker Tony Atkins. And here is what they did. Kevin DeLeon said the reflection in Washington is a dereliction of duty of the members of Congress on their lack of action on immigration. Wow, what they are proposing to do here in California. Once again, Governor Brown, of course, has signed into law a lot of laws to protect the foreign-born and from labor discrimination and ban jails from detaining immigrants who commit non-serious crimes. Wow, crimes. Crime is a crime. Anyway, the federal government's failure to act has unfairly shifted the burden to the states, and it has done that. California is taking the brunt of it because we have the most illegal immigrants here in our area. We understand the burdens facing immigrants who want to go to work and raise their families, but without money from Congress, it's very difficult, and it's placing the burdens on California. Now, wait a minute. These folks are in our country illegally. Why are we spending all this money on them? Senate Bill number 4 from Ricardo Lara would extend Medi-Cal to unauthorized families based on their income. It would open up covered California, Obamacare, to them as well. Senate Bill number 10 would establish a California Law Office of New Americans within the governor's office. That's all we need, another government agency. Senate Bill number 600 would make it illegal for businesses to discriminate against a person on the basis of their immigration status, citizenship, or language. Are you kidding me? They're here illegally. And AB 60 from Assemblywoman Lorena Gonzalez would prohibit immigration attorneys and consultants demanding advance payments for pending government immigration answers, immigration actions. Just a few of what happened on Tuesday. It is crazy what they're wanting to do. So they want to put more money into the illegals here in California. That is what the Senate Assembly and a Senate leader in California are proposing to do right now. More of our money going towards illegals. It is Friday. It is our favorite day of the week. And is with me, as always, on my right is my good friend Andrew Wellborn. Buddy, and how are you today, pal?
Well, I'm glad you left me the last, but definitely not the least. Let's not forget about AB 1352. You ready, folks? Assembly Bill 1352 is going to allow defendants who actually cop a plea of no contest or guilty, illegal immigrants who are defendants, to complete a deferred entry program. What is that? A deferred entry program, which will allow them to withdraw a guilty or no contest plea if they ready, show the original plea would cause them to lose their job, benefits, or lead to an adverse immigration consequence.
Really?
Good Lord. I mean, listen to these words, immigration consequences. And then, of course, the great word that they use in Senate Bill 10, the Office of New Americans. And you know what? It's just interesting how they are beginning to change language. You mentioned Senate Bill 4. You know, it said unauthorized families. So they're no longer using illegal aliens, illegal immigrants, unauthorized individuals. Why? Words matter. Unauthorized does not indicate an illegal activity. So it's real important now, and that's going to be my kick over the next few months, especially heading into this election season. Words matter. Regardless of what your political issue are, words will matter as far as communicating that to the electorate. Hello, folks. Andrew Wellborn here on the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. And, of course, we're aware America's voice is heard.
You know, I was just reading those stories and gathering, getting ready for our show today, and it was just absolutely amazing what they are trying to do. And, you know, everybody, and I was talking to someone. They said, well, how about a solution? I said, well, the solution, you know, why don't we not really – close our borders. That's going to be very difficult, but arm, get more people down at the borders, make it more difficult. It's too easy for folks to get into our country. Hundreds of thousands, millions all the time coming in. Nobody, of course, is leaving in the droves to go to Mexico or to Canada like they are from Mexico into the great state of California or into the United States through Texas and Arizona, some of those other border states down there. But let's make it more difficult for them. And how can they propose spending more money on things for them when they are not a citizen of our country? That is unbelievable to me.
You know, it's interesting because I do think we have an immigration or reverse immigration problem. I guess, you know, a lot of corporations, a lot of businesses, a lot of people with money are beginning to exit the United States and head to Mexico for the obvious reasons. I mean, Mexico now is becoming the automobile manufacturing capital of the Western Hemisphere. So, you know, as we continue to do this, the problem is going to be is the money. Obviously, it's going to be the money. How are we going to pay for this? Where is this money going to come from? We need to get back to that question. It's just a good old-fashioned question that the Republicans have got a great opportunity with. There are several issues that I'm going to get into on the bottom part of this show. Messaging opportunities for the Republicans, not just across the country, but definitely opportunities out here on the West Coast in California, if we can just get the correct messaging together, Tim.
Do you think, Andrew, you know, a lot of folks, you know, here and there, not all the time, but they talk about term limits as well here in California, and we have those. It's called the election process every couple of years. If you don't like what's going on, and we've been talking and harping on this on the 503 Report, is folks not getting out to vote, but yet they want to cry and they want to moan and complain. You have your opportunity every 2 years for the Assembly, every 4 years for the State Senate, to get out there and exercise your right to get out there and at least try to get some of those people who are putting these crazy bills before the House is out.
And we're going to contrast a little bit here. I mean, the bottom line is that everybody knows my record is very clear. I do not like term limits.
Correct. I don't
think
either.
A lot of the problems that the state of California are facing right now is because of term limits. And historically, you can take a look at the state of the affairs of the state, how the state was operating and managing the economic status of the state prior to term limits, and it's just night and day. It's unbelievable, as you put it in the very beginning, as far as the detriment I believe the term limits have done to the state of California in the name of, you know, something good that had a serious unintended consequences out here on the West Coast.
And if I said it wrong, I meant was is the term limits are is when every 2 years for the Assembly, we can go out and vote that person in or out. That is your opportunity to exercise your right and get them out. I am wholeheartedly behind you. Why would you want to change things when they're going good to put somebody else in there and it could ruin everything that is going well? You have the opportunity every election cycle to exercise your right to get somebody in or out of the state Senate or the Assembly.
You know, and like we've been saying, you know, my vote doesn't count. My vote doesn't count. Yes, it does, folks. By voting sets the higher threshold for any type of stupid initiative that wants to qualify for the ballot. And, you know, speaking of that, you know, the initiative processes are beginning. We're starting to see the press releases. You know, the pension reform is starting to all you state employees up and down California, all you state employees who are embracing the Democrat Party. And that's another thing. I don't want to call it Democratic Party anymore because it gives the meaning of something that it's not. It's the Democrat Party. Let's leave the IC off of Democrat because that's what it is, the Democrats Party. So, you know, it's not about the democracy within that party. But anyway, that's my little rant. But, you know, bottom line is these stupid initiatives that begin to rear their ugly heads again as a direct result of maybe state employees embracing some of the Democrat Party individuals that we put in office up and down California, not just in the legislature, but opportunity identity is going to be the key for us. And I'm going to slow down on this, and I'm going to talk about this throughout this year. Messaging is key. We've got about 6 months to formulate the message. And, you know, I'm not going to beat up on Rand Paul like most of the media has. But the bottom line, Rand Paul is a perfect example of messaging and what to do, in particular, what not to do when it comes to messaging to the people in this country.
That's probably the most important thing. You've been harping on that for a long time, Andrew, the messaging and how we get that across to everybody.
Well, words matter. And so, you know, there's some suggestions I'm going to make as far as some of the substitutions that we can make with our verbiage within the messaging. Great opportunity in California. We've got a long shot, possibly with the correct messaging with the U.S. Senate race out here in California, but definitely across this country, we've got a great, great opportunity. And speaking of some stuff, it's time for one of my favorite segments of the show, Know That with Mr. Paul Stady. Paul, my friend, what should we be knowing?
Hey, everyone. I think I've got a good Know That segment for you today. Earlier this week, Muslim students from the University of Michigan forced the school administration to cancel a screening of the movie American Sniper. They said the movie was anti-Muslim, and instead the school planned to show a Paddington Bear movie. They called the American war hero Chris Kyle a murderer, mass killer, and a racist. The university expressed remorse to the Muslim students for making them feel, quote, uncomfortable and unsafe. As you might imagine, there was national outrage in the community. A few hours later, the university reversed its decision. American Sniper will now be shown at that school later tonight. By the way, you know what makes me feel, quote, uncomfortable and unsafe? Islamic jihadists beheading people, blowing up churches, and flying jet airliners into buildings. So this is the actual fact. You don't have a constitutional right to not be offended. If the movie American Sniper makes you feel uncomfortable or unsafe, then just don't go see the movie. It's as simple as that. This is how things were meant to be. This was the philosophy and beliefs of our founding fathers. Know That.
Ah, very good. And this date in history, it is April 10th, 1932. Paul von Hindenburg, the infamous name Hindenburg, we know what happened with the actual Hindenburg, is elected to president in Germany. 1938, 6 years later, Germany, guess what they did? They annexed Austria. Huh. Similar to what's going on in another part of the country with the Soviet Union at this point. And then, of course, in 1941, United States troops occupied Greenland to do what? Prevent Nazi infiltration. I have to tell you guys, history is very important to us, and that's why we bring it up. Know the history, folks, and maybe that's something that we should also do with the Know That section. Know history.
The 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you every Friday right after the news on 1240 KSU, live streaming on the World Wide Web at sierradailynews.com. You want to join the conversation? Pretty easy. 257-TALK, 8255-8256, toll free, and 1-866-882-1277. The 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you.
Now, it's live from the high desert in the Sierra Nevada mountains. It's the 503 Report, Northeastern California's original political talk show, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. And here's your host, Tim Reinertsen.
Thanks, Dan. Welcome back, everybody, to our favorite day of the week, and that is Friday, right here on 1240 KSU, live streaming on the World Wide Web, SierraDailyNews.com. The 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. And, of course, taxes. That's just right around the corner next Wednesday. With me, as always, to my right, my good friend, Andrew Welborn. Buddy, how are you, man?
Well, that's interesting you bring up the word taxes. Taxes happens to be part of the messaging that we're talking about on the first part of the show. Messaging is going to be the key. Message, message, message. Great opportunities out here in the state of California. I think if we can just get the right individuals within the right Republican campaigns to get this right message, and if we can just kind of formulate what I'm going to talk about here real shortly, I think we've got huge opportunities for success across the country, including out here on this West Coast. Hello, folks. Andrew Welborn here on the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. And we are where America's voice is heard, and hopefully Republicans out there, hopefully Republican pundits, hopefully Republican consultants and all you guys out there in party power, you'll start hearing my message from up here to you.
And I think that they will, Andrew. You know, one thing we have not been hearing really lately is a lot of that message. We just hear them saying, well, you know, we talked about in our opening about immigration here in California. The California Republicans are saying, well, they firmly believe that Washington needs to make a stand and get things right. They're not offering any solutions or any packages. However, the Democrats, they're very loud in what they want to do, and the Senate, you know, they're just saying, this is what we need to do.
Is this is spin. I'm going to call it out. This is spin. Come on, this illegal immigration issue has been going on for how long? Out here in this country, in the state of California. This is the Democrats trying to spin something in the forefront to hide something. You know what the big issue right now that the Democrats are starting to hide, that we Republicans have got a great opportunity, is water. For goodness sakes, water. We've got a great opportunity to tell everybody down in Southern California, if you have been voting for Democrats, you have been voting for the policies that are preventing you from having water. We do not have water storage capabilities. We do not have water storage program to ensure that you've got water. The U.S. Senate race right now should be about water. Why? Because it's going to take an incredible amount of federal aid out here in California to be able to establish these water storage facilities, these dams. We've got to be able to formulate that message. It's real simple, folks. It's real simple. What's more important? Do you want to wash your car, or do you want to make sure the water is to the people who are giving you the food, producing the food? An opportunity is there if we can just formulate it correctly and not come across as being angry right libertarians and Tea Partiers. The bottom line is water is the most important necessity in life, obviously. And right now, California's got the biggest crisis that the history of the country has seen out here. And so with that, we can formulate that message. We can do it within our Senate, we can do it within our Assembly, and we can do it with our U.S. Senate race. Do you want water for food? Do we have an opportunity to expand education into desalinization? The EPA, the leftist, and the key is this, we've got to change the word from liberal to what it is. The leftist policies out here on the West Coast have created the biggest issue, the biggest crisis that we've seen in our state's history.
You've mentioned a lot of things right there in that one-minute rant right there, Andrew. Do you think that's going to happen? Are the Republican Party, should they pick and choose one or two things in their water being having storage facilities, desalinization? Should it be a broad spectrum of things? What should they talk about? What message should the Republicans get across to the California voters who are teetering? However, you mentioned it right. There is nothing more important and more vital to us as a people than water.
Leftist policies are failing California, just like leftist policies are failing the United States. The word is leftist, folks. It's not liberal. The confusing word of liberal. The word is leftist policies that want to constrain your individual rights under the Constitution is failing California. And we've got to be able to do it in a way that people understand. Higher taxes are resulting in lower revenue in your bank account, you know, in order to fund some of these leftist policies. Let's separate leftist policies from compassion. Let's face it, 80% of the country and the majority of the state of California happen to be that of Christian faith. Tapping into that Christian faith is huge for us. It's time for Republicans to start asking the message to Democrats, or should we say Christians, does the Democrat Party, not Cratic Party, does the Democrat Party represent your views and faith? The key word is faith, not church, not establishment of religion, not religious leadership, but your faith. If you believe that the Democratic Party, slipped right there. By nature of the Democrat Party, are they representing you? And if they're not, then we need to recruit you over and bring you over. And Democrats who have Christian conservative faith need to have that reality. And it's time for us across the country. And I believe that any presidential candidate that, and I think we're doing it wrong, don't get me wrong, on the national level, this Indiana stuff is just going to backfire huge when it comes to this message. But the message is about faith, not church. Not religion, but faith.
Now, we've seen that Governor Brown has put forth a bill, a $1 billion drought relief bill, but that doesn't do anything for, that just is money to the people who are going to be affected by it. That doesn't do anything for storage, things we've had the opportunities in the past that have come forward and have been shot down, the Auburn Dam, things like that, storage facilities to increase the capacity when, during times of plenty of rain, we will have more storage available for times of drought.
California Assemblyman Brian Dolly, who represents us up here in northeastern California, Lassen County in particular, where we broadcast out of, made it very clear that the water bond did not have anything that really went for water storage. The PACs, should we say, the bond, the Wall Street deal, that's what bonds are. We go into business with Wall Street, and then we put the burden of paying that debt onto you, the listener, you, the people up and down California. But Assemblyman Brian Dollar clearly laid it out that this water bond, and that's why you saw so many Republicans actually go against the water bond as far as not endorsing it when it was on the ballot. But the water bond does not have hardly any money going for water storage. And so that's the problem with the current water bond. You're seeing it now with Governor Jerry Brown. Governor Jerry Brown's beginning to distribute the bond money out there for the various programs. And so if you, the listener, you individuals in California are like, wait a minute, what does this got to do with water bonds, if you're even paying attention? It's because the water bond didn't have anything to do with water.
And that's the way a lot of the bills and a lot of things are tacked on. Things they make it sound like that, and it's for the good of everything, and that's not what it is. You know, we had that with AB 109 and things like that, where people were let loose, and money for school kids, the Safer School Act, things like that. It's absolutely crazy. Hi, we got a caller on line one. Andrew, hi, welcome to the 503 Report. What's on your mind today?
Well, thank you. You changed topics while I was waiting. I was going to call and remind people that during the election, remember, the Democrats voted to take God completely out of their platform 3 different times at their convention. People need to remember that, too. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you very much for your call. And
well, once again, faith. You know, faith is something we could tap into. 80% of this nation. It's a fact. And all you leftists out there should be running scared on this. And if I can advocate this, I do not advocate church, folks. Okay, first of all, let's get that clear. I am an anti-establishment of the institution as far as a church controlling me. I've got a very, very, very strong faith that I really, really don't wear on my sleeve that much. But I am not about the church. I mean, if the establishment of the church and leadership, you know, to lead the way is just as scary as some of the mullahs that we have over there in the Middle East as far as that goes. So I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about your faith, your conviction, coming out and voting for individuals that represent. A politician or elected representative should not be concerned or scared about saying what their position of faith is when 80% of the nation, you know, pretty much should be lined up in agreement with them. Enough. Well, okay. The phones are lighting up, folks.
Give us a call back. We will get to you. And please do stay on the line. Give us a little bit more than a minute because we want to get our point across. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I go back 35, 40 years, and now they were talking about the Auburn Dam Project. I remember I was in school in that area, and they were talking about that. And just think if we had had projects like that and had some infrastructure projects, people going to work, Andrew, where we might be today, we might have more water.
Well, look, the bottom line is this. There always got to be balance. We always have to understand the balance. I think we're today, in today's nation, I think that everybody, the beauty about the word conservative is that when you look at the word conservative, you know, the definition of the word conservative is defined based on the status quo or the positions of today. So conservative ideology has been able to evolve and to allow things to happen in the name of, shall I say, liberal thought, the true definition of the word liberal. So the two have gone hand in hand. And so, you know, to say that we are not going to build a dam because of yesterday's thought, because of yesterday's just not caring about ecosystems, well, I don't think that that's the issue today. Today, I think that, you know, most people are informed enough to where they understand the importance of evolving this within the environment. So the restrictions that have been in place for so many years with the EPA, you know, need to be loosened up a little bit, because I think that we could do things now, you know, that are a little bit different under the current restrictions of the EPA. So we need to evolve the EPA so that we can do things like dam projects, which create water storage, because let's face it, human beings, we have got to have the water. Hello, you're on the 503 Report. Welcome to the conversation. What's on your mind?
Hi there. Nope, not there. Give us a call back. And you're absolutely correct on those, Andrew. And folks, like I said, give us a little bit. We have to finish our thoughts, and we will get to you.
I don't know if I'm correct, folks. This is just my opinion. This is just my rant. You know, these are the keys that we can do as Republicans, is to tap into that Christian faith. You know, the difference is, I'm going to go over and over and over, the Christian belief, not the church, separated. If I'm going to say it one time, I'll say it over and over. So water storage is the big thing out here in California. The immigration issues, like I said, the immigration issues, I mean, I'm going to agree with Kevin DeLeon just a little bit. Okay, it is a federal failure when it comes to the immigration issue inside the United States. Now, let's not forget, you know, Kevin DeLeon, President Pro Tem of the California State Senate, is a son of immigrants. You know, son of immigrants now is a code word for Democrats for illegal immigrant. And that's exactly what that means. I'm the son of an immigrant. Well, you know, a legal immigrant or an illegal. Now they're changing the word to unauthorized individuals and things like that. Wording is very, very important. And on the bottom part of the show, I'm really going to show some examples of how wording is going to be the key for the future. Well, once again, hello, you're on the 503 Report. Welcome to the conversation. What's on your mind?
Thanks for the show, guys.
You bet, buddy.
The problem is that no one is willing to take the lure from the illegal people that enter this country away from them. I.e. businesses that keep hiring them because of the cheap labor and don't have to pay for their health care and things like that.
I mean, it's a valid point. It's been a point, you know, of many Americans across this country. And, you know, the big industry, the big businesses are creating this. And, you know, that's why you're looking at that silly little law right here where it says Senate Bill 600 by Richard Pan, illegal for businesses to discriminate on the basis of immigration status, citizenship, or language. I mean, come on. I mean, the problem is this. The bottom line is that those are going to be the barriers that are going to hinder an individual in this country that's not here legally, has not, you know, basically assimilated into this country. If you want to go somewhere, you want to be successful coming from another foreign nation, coming into the United States, you might want to at least learn to speak English.
The 503 Report bringing Sacramento and the world to you. Want to join the conversation? 257-TALK 8255 or out of the area, our dime 1-866-882-1277.
Lindsay Rotary's 14th annual golf tournament is Saturday, May 2nd at Plumas Pines Golf Course in Gray Eagle. There will be 3 hole-in-one prizes, $10,000 in cash and 2 $5,000 in cash. Entry is $100 a person. 4-person scramble includes golf, cart, lunch, and hors d'oeuvres. Entry deadline is April 24th, or the first 144 players. This message, a community service of your favorite radio station.
The views and opinions expressed on the 503 Report do not necessarily represent those of staff or management of KSUE or Sierra Broadcasting Company and are brought to you solely by Andrew Wellborn and the 503 Network.
This day, April 12, 1912, the Titanic began her maiden voyage, and we all know how that ended up. In 1925, on April 12th, F. Scott Fitzgerald, he published an incredible book. And I actually have to say, I had to read this book when I was in high school, and then, of course, the recent movie, The Great Gatsby. Interesting book, great piece of literature, and I have to tell you, you know, hopefully we get back to reading great novels like that in our education system. And, of course, in 1947, here's a very, very important for all you sports fans out there. Jackie Robinson becomes the first black to play Major League Baseball as he takes the field for the Brooklyn Dodgers. Hello, folks. Andrew Wellborn here on the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. And we are where America's voice is heard. And right now, it's time for Republicans to begin to evolve a message for Americans to hear. You know, when we talk about opportunities across this country, you know, one of the stories that we're not really looking at is the selective prosecution of the Justice Department. You know, one of the biggest things that's happening right now, when the Attorney General Eric Holder does not enforce a congressional contempt of Congress allegation, that is a problem. At some point in time, Republicans need to advocate maybe pressing a law, pushing a law to force the Attorney General. Anytime the Congress holds anybody in contempt, regardless of the party control, that needs to be investigated. At some point, the Justice Department, because of politics, should not have the ability to pick and choose, and choose not to enforce a congressional contempt of court, because otherwise, what's happening? We are rendering the United States Congress
useless,
as being absolutely useless. We do have another call on the line. The phones have been lighting up all day. Hello, you're on the 503 Report. Welcome to the conversation.
Thanks.
What's on your mind?
Thanks again. It's me. I got one quick statement. We're not looking for an idea. We're looking for something we can believe in and get behind and work forward, work with each other with, so this country will succeed peacefully in the world. Thank you.
You know, that's a great point, but I want to evolve that. You know, we need an idea that we can work for. You know, you have to inspire to become successful in the country. The country will allow that. And Tim, I'm going to mention this a little bit, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time beating up on Kentucky Senator Rand Paul, but I was kind of confused because my emails and my texts, my phone was lighting up all week, you know, after Rand Paul did his speech. And so many people that I know who know me were referring to the speech, asking me what I think. Rand Paul for president, excellent speech. You're going to love this speech. And my first response was like, are you kidding me? Anybody knows me knows that I'm really not going to care too much for what Senator Rand Paul's got to say from his libertarian points of view. And then I started watching the speech, and he started using the normal buzzwords and things like that, which drive me crazy because I don't think these words, you know, translate over to the American population today. And then I got furious. I got furious after I watched it because Rand Paul went straight into conservative language. He went straight into conservative ideology. He started talking like a conservative. And it reminded me once, folks, my wife and I down in 1996 were buying a vehicle in Roseville, California, and we were watching President Bill Clinton speak one night after we just purchased our vehicle. And we both looked at each other and said, whoa. This guy doesn't sound like the guy that, you know, the Republicans try to portray. And so the example I want to make with Senator Rand Paul, Republicans and people across this country, Hillary Clinton is going to try to do the same thing. I think the Rand Paul attempt is going to be a preview for Hillary Clinton. And Senator Rand Paul just made some huge, huge mistakes with this. You know, our good friend Christopher Bennett asked me earlier this week, Andrew, if you were going to advise the Rand Paul campaign, how would you advise him? And my first response to Christopher Bennett would be, hey, Rand, don't run. And Chris, we kind of got a little laugh about it, but you know, the bottom line is don't run, stay in the Senate. And definitely at this point in time, I'd advise Rand Paul, whoever formulate this new messaging for you, get rid of them, because right now even your libertarian base is going to appear somewhat confused as far as you flip-flopping probably way worse on greater issues than John Kerry did.
Do you think, Andrew, that, you know, we've had Senator Ted Cruz and now Rand Paul, and they're all saying that Marco Rubio, the libertarian Tea Party favorite on there, you know, Ted Cruz, where's he go? He's already gone, and that just was a week ago, but now we're talking Rand Paul, and then Marco Rubio is going to throw his head in. Do you think Jeb Bush is just kind of just waiting by the side? The true conservative, the other ones a little bit more to the right than them. Would you advise him, hey, let's just wait a little bit longer? Is that what you do?
Absolutely. I mean, I wouldn't come out till June. I mean, why, you know, run into it? You know you're going to run. You've already got your exploratory committee. I mean, same with Hillary Clinton. I'd wait till at least, you know, the latest possible, you know, date to file. You're still raising money. People know you're there. You're still making the rounds. So why jump into it and become the target? Let these guys kind of beat themselves up a little bit and then come in as the alternative, you know. Let the libertarians, and, you know, I get this question all the time. What do I have against libertarians? It's not that I have things against libertarians, folks. The issue I've got is that the libertarians are in the forefront, and so the leftist media is able to put these guys as being representational of conservative values. And so it scares center America for the most part, because those ideologies that are represented by the extreme libertarian party have been rejected for centuries. Two and a half centuries,
yes,
almost. And so, you know, the thing is this: if the Libertarian Party and the Libertarian ideology was such a great, great majority and growing ideology, then eventually that party would be a whole lot bigger than what it is. And so, you know, the infiltration into the Republican Party, because historically they know that conservative ideology and status quo will represent the status quo and the conservative thought of the day, not the past, because we evolve like that. And it's based on the foundation of a liberalism, a little historical political history here and word play here that's very important for us to understand. That the socialists, the communists, and the leftists understand that, and so they're able to play that message against ourselves with middle America. But it's time for us to get the right message out to Middle America and expose the Marxist, the leftists who are hiding under the word liberal. And if we can formulate that message along with the importance of our Christian faith, not Christian control, okay, because most Americans are going to reject that. I mean, we've got so many different denominations of religion, they're going to reject any type of one denominational control. But the faith is the common denominator that we, as Republicans, can reach out to the people.
Nobody on the Democratic ticket at all, really, Vice President Joe Biden really hasn't said anything. There's a couple other pretenders out there, I think, as well. But it's really Hillary Clinton's, and she can go in whenever she wants, and why wouldn't she just wait a little bit to hear what's going on more so with the Republican Party? And like you said, Jeb Bush, why doesn't he wait as well? Because let Rand Paul and Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz get out there and say what they have to say. And you are absolutely correct. They've gotten more central, at least Rand Paul, with his beliefs. His people from the far right have got to be going, oh, wait a minute, what are you talking about? That's not how we elected you. In Kentucky?
I got a little kick out of it, man, because, you know, I was watching the speech on YouTube, and it was like the crowd was like, huh? I mean, the crowd was not – he would say something. They were like, what? I mean, so the enthusiasm – it was probably one of the most confused audience enthusiasm I've ever seen or listened to or heard, should we say, whenever Senator Rand Paul has given a speech. Now, here real quick, here's another thing. We've got to be very careful as Republicans. You know, we're talking about the Latino vote, the Hispanic vote. Now, I'm going to be controversial here, but here's a fact, you know, whether we like this or not. You know, we're trying to champion two Cubans, Cuban Americans, as being Latino. And American Latinos and American Cubans are going to be two different groups of individuals. And so just for us to think that just because Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio of Cuban descent is going to satisfy the Latino Southwestern to the West Coast voting base, we got to be concerned about that. You know, we got to be careful about just assuming that the Latino factor will come out with that. Now, we're talking about words here real quick. And Rand Paul used a lot of them. And so I don't want to beat up on Rand Paul, but I want to beat up on his speechwriter, his conservative so-called consultant advisor. You know, we've got to get rid of the typical words. Well, my vision, wait a minute, my vision. How about our vision? Let's use that word. Our vision for America is this as conservatives. Liberal policies, wait a minute, we've got to get away from liberal policies. Let's just call it what it is, leftist policies, because anybody who Googles the word liberal will come up with something that identifies you as being a solid an American. Okay, and so when we talk also about the Cold War, what is the Cold War? Let's stay off the Cold War. What we need to do is remind the people what we're going to get into, rather than reflect on what was the future of the Middle East. These are certain words that we need to use. Work is not punishment. Work is the reward was the stupidest line I have ever heard in a speech. You know, work is the incentive to get ahead and become prosperous so you can have a better life. You know, I mean, you got to think about these words. Washington is broken. Wait a minute. Washington is elected people by the states. You're running for president, so you want to reach out to the people of each individual state. Your job as president is to reach out and to work with the individuals that you send to Washington. And so if you don't like what's happening in Washington, you need to think state by state, district by district, who you are sending to Washington. Government, you know, government out of control. The word government, we're using the word government and Washington like they're kings. The bottom line is that Washington is the place where people go that we elect and we consent to govern over us. So the message has got to be to the individuals who are sending individuals for that change. So you got to always appeal to the states. And you know what also bothers me is that we talk about our grandchildren. The debt's going to be on our grandchildren. Get rid of the word grandchildren.
Thank you.
Talk about today's generation. Okay, because right now you're dating yourself. If you're saying that you've got grandchildren, the majority of the American people don't even have children, much less maybe just young families. So get rid of the word grandchildren and just talk about the debt on today's generation.
And that would be a terrific message for somebody to get across, because they never talk about it. They always talk about, well, in 30 or 40 years from now, this is what's going to happen. That doesn't affect anybody right now. Well, it's affecting you right now, the money that you have, the money that you want to try and save to make your family and your lot in life much easier. It's very difficult to do that. But when you think about, well, that's 30 or 40 years from now, that's not going to affect me. Yeah, it is. It's affecting you right now.
Well, the Democrats are becoming masters at the word. I mean, they're changing illegal from alien to illegal immigrant, and now they're changing the word from illegal immigrant to unauthorized people. So, I mean, you know, we've got to get a little bit better at the game. But the bottom line is that the words that I've used here today, folks, hopefully we can think about it, with campaigning and messaging, you know, these are sincere words that relate to the individuals today. You know, the millennial generation, which is a product of my generation, Xers out there, you know, most of these individuals are really about themselves, and, you know, as a product of some of our generation Xers, my groups. And so, you know, the bottom line is this, messaging is going to be the key. Governor Jeb Bush, absolutely, wait to the last possible minute. You know, let everybody battle it out, you know, because what's going to happen is this. Let Hillary come out. Let Hillary expose herself. You know, it's just going to be interesting. Hillary's in trouble, whether we realize it or not. The polls out there across the country are indicating that she is slipping. So let's just calm down, reformulate our messaging, regroup, and take advantage of the opportunities that the Democrat, the failed leftist policies in this country are giving us right here today.
You have a quote for us today, my friend?
You know we do, man, from our favorite book, especially in light of what's happening, and especially, you know, with my position of faith and the importance of 80% of this nation being that of faith. We just need to remember one thing about individuals with faith. Those who hate me without reason outnumber the hairs on my head. Many are my enemies without cause, those who seek to destroy me.
The 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you.
And of course, we always want to thank those men and women who go to work, working the toughest beaten state up and down California and across this country, keeping you, our listener, safe.
The 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. Heard every Friday right after the news on 1240 KSUE and live streaming on the World Wide Web. About a half hour after the show, you can check us out at SierraDailyNews.com. And don't forget about the 503 Report, where America's voice is heard. You can check all of our past shows there as well. And if you'd like to join us for a rebroadcast, you can. Saturdays at 7, right before the news, and Swamp Shop on Sundays before pre-programmed material at 7:30. I want to thank you all for your calls, like always. Folks, have yourselves a great weekend out there. Don't forget, Wednesday, taxes. Hope you've already made your appointment, and hopefully you'll be getting a little bit back this year. Join us again next Friday right after the news here on 1240 KSUE for the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. Folks, have yourselves a great weekend, and like Kid Rock said, don't forget that we are all born free.
Time.